Second Timothy chapter number 1.
Second Timothy chapter number is where we'll be for just a couple verses. We won't be too long. But 2 Timothy chapter number 1. We'll read verse 16, 17, and 18. And in verse 16, the Bible says, "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently, and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well." Simple thought today, this afternoon, is friendship. What a true friend can be. And so we'll look at that this afternoon. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your many blessings to us. And we thank you for the services this morning. We thank you for, as we were downstairs and able to be with the kids, we thank you for the time there in junior church. And we thank you for how you're working there. And we thank you for the service this morning. We thank you once again for the safety you granted to us to be able to make it out. And we do pray for safety here in a little bit as we head home. But God, I do pray that you'd help us as we look into your word. Help us as we look here at this man who wasn't mentioned very much at all in the Bible, but you wrote down this account for our benefit. And so I pray that you'd help us. In Jesus' name, amen. As we think about 2 Timothy, obviously the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy for the purpose of helping him as a young preacher, as Paul had the experience and had a lot of things go on in his life, and yet was trying to pour into the next generation and was trying to pour into Timothy. And as we look in chapter number 1, as he's starting to continuing from 1 Timothy, but as he starts there to just reiterate some points that Timothy's going to need in his ministry and as he serves the Lord. And he talks about it as Paul talks about the fact that he was in bondage to the gospel, that he was bound to the fact that he had to share the gospel, no matter where he was. And we know that Paul was, of course, thrown in prison over and over, and all the things that happened to him, because he was bound to the gospel, that he in one place he said that he was a debtor, that because the gospel came to him, he had no other choice but to give his life in service for sharing the gospel. And so as he's sharing that burden with Timothy, and that Timothy needed to have that burden as well, and he goes through different things, and of course we know the Apostle Paul faced many things, but he reminds him in verse number 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." You know, that's reassuring as somebody who's experienced ministry and has experienced shipwreck and beating and jail time and all that kind of stuff. And what he's telling Timothy is this: hey, God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. Don't be fearful, Timothy. You're going to face things that you don't even know about. But don't have fear, for he's given us power and love and of a sound mind. And so he's reiterating these things. But as he goes, as we come to our verses today, he makes mention of this man named Onesiphorus. And he's sharing it with Timothy. But in verse number 15, before we read, he talks about these two, Phygelus, all right, and Hermogenes. Okay, usually I butcher those even worse. So, but these two people, all right, that the Apostle talks about the fact that at times there were people who were with him and forsook it, right? I know that we could, we've experienced that in life, that sometimes the friends who were with you don't stay with you, right? Sometimes they go, and so he talks about these that it turned away from me, as he says in verse number 15. But he talks specifically, in this context of remembering that an older preacher is telling a younger preacher about somebody who was a help. So remember that he's telling him to help him, right? He's telling him about this friendship that he had with Onesiphorus to remind Timothy that, hey, there are people that will come and go. But there are people who will be there all the way, that are with you, that are for you, right? And so he talks about this. So the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus. And as we, I don't have a lot of points. I actually have just a few thoughts from this. And then we got 2 points, no poem or anything. All right. So my homiletics teacher would feel disgraced, I guess. But I only got 2 points. But as we look here, what we find is the Apostle Paul is reminding us that he was refreshed by this man Onesiphorus. He was refreshed. And we look at that, the friendship there in verse 16, refreshed me. So we look at this, that he was a refreshment. He was a help. He was a friend. He was somebody there that was not just around, but was there with purpose to refresh, right? As you think about a refreshment, right? That's one of my favorite things. That would be Dr. Pepper, right? I don't know if you've heard this or not, but I like Dr. Pepper. It's way better than coffee. All right, we'll move on. But what it is, right, so Dr. Pepper on their can, right, it's, what is it? Is it 2, 4, whatever. Anyways, the numbers that it's on there, the whole point is that it's good all the time, right? No matter what time of day, Dr. Pepper is good. I would say that's from the Lord. Not really, all right? But you know how it is that whenever you're doing yard work or you're out laboring, and then you go in and you get a beverage, right? You get some sweet tea or some Dr. Pepper, some water for weirdos. No, for the smart ones, you get water. But you know what it is that whenever you're going and you're thirsty, and then to have that drink of water that just is refreshing, right? That is like, I'm almost to the end. I got the cotton mouth, I'm just tired, and then to have that refreshment. Now what he's talking about here is not just that Onesiphorus was willing to give him a cup of water, though what we would see is that he would have done that too, but that he was a refreshment, that when they got together, that when the Apostle Paul and Onesiphorus was together, Onesiphorus' goal was to be a refreshment to Paul. Now, when you think about it, the Apostle Paul, my mentality would be like, I just want to learn as much as I can from this person, right? I'll just sit and he could talk for hours and hours and I would just sit and listen. And that is part of it. That's what he's doing to Timothy, that he's helping him to grow and sharing these things with him. But what Onesiphorus' goal was not just to get, but to give, right? You know what it's like to have a friendship that's more about what somebody can get than what they can give. And here he's specifically saying that he was there to help, to be a refreshment, to take that opportunity to not just say, Paul, this is what I want from you, but here, Paul, what can I do for you to be a help, right? And so we would see true friendship there. Now, the interesting thing about that is that what Paul's saying here is he's saying that he was a refreshment, but how many times was he? Well, in verse 16, we find this, that it was oft. That oft. That Onesiphorus, literally, as oft as he could, he was seeking to be a help to the Apostle Paul. Wherever I can be, however often I can do it, I'm going to try to be a help, to be a friend. So not just once, not just, you know, well, whenever I'm in the neighborhood, maybe, but oft. How many times is that? I don't know. But I know as often as he could. And so many times he was trying to be a refreshment to Paul. Also, we see this, that he wasn't ashamed of Paul. In verse number 16 there, for oft he refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. Now, what is he talking about there? Well, I believe that he's talking again about the Paul, that he said that he was bound to the gospel, that wherever he was going, he was preaching, he was teaching, he was sharing the gospel with other people. Now, if you think about it, and you think about some of the accounts of the Apostle Paul and being thrown into prison and being beat and all those types of things, you know that you might not want to tell everybody that you're besties for the resties, right? Hey, I'm with the Apostle Paul. Oh, you want us to beat you too? Right? I mean, seriously. like everywhere, you know, my dad would always say this. Well, whenever the Apostle Paul would go through, he would just see what the accommodations were like, right? At the Motel 6? No, at the local prison, right? That's where I'm going to end up. But do you understand that people could have been, that it would have been like, yeah, I'm with Paul. Oh, he's not well received. I'm not necessarily with Paul. I'm with you, but I'm not with you. You know what I'm saying? That it would have been very easy when the Apostle Paul was going to a town and when Paul was preaching and was upsetting the religious leaders and was making everybody mad because he was sharing the gospel with them, there would have been the tendency for people who were saying that I'm with Paul to say, well, no, I'm not that much of a fanatic. And so you would have seen that people, maybe these guys that were mentioned in verse 15. Oh, Paul, that's a little extra for me. But yet Onesiphorus said, no, I'm going to be a friend of Paul. And whether the world is saying, oh, Paul's a great guy, or whether the world says he's a terrible guy, no, I'm going to be a friend to him. Right? No matter what. So he wasn't ashamed of Paul. He wasn't afraid to call Paul his friend. He wasn't even afraid to be known to be with him. Now we also see this, that he not only refreshed Paul often, and he wasn't ashamed, but look at this in verse 17. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently. Right? So Onesiphorus was the kind of friend to say this. No, I'm going to see the apostle. If at all possible, I'm going to see Paul. I'm going to see him. Well, you know, if he crosses my path, I'll say hi. No, diligently sought him out. Can you imagine how lonely Paul's ministry could have been? In prison, traveling, doing all those types of things. Could have been a very lonely ministry. A lonely life. And yet, at the same time, here was this man who not just by accident, but on purpose, was seeking out an opportunity to be a friend to Paul. So we see that. We see that he refreshed Paul oft, many times. He wasn't ashamed of Paul. He sought Paul out to refresh him. And then this, he ministered to Paul in verse 18. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Now, this, I believe, is where friendship gets deeper. You know how it is. You have acquaintances. You have people you know, right? There's people in our lives that, yeah, we're kind of surface-level friends, which means this. I'm not going to tell them that they have a whole bunch of broccoli hanging in their teeth. Right? You know what I'm saying? A friend that's like, well, we're close, but I'm not going to tell you that you got something going on right here. Right? Now, I know that's silly. But what Paul is saying is this, that he wasn't just trying to be a surface level friend that was like, hey, hope you're doing well, you know, hope you have a great day. But yet at the same time, he ministered to him. Which means this. He encouraged him spiritually. He wasn't just a surface level person. It wasn't just that he was saying, hey, Paul, here's a Dr. Pepper. Hope you do well. See ya. But that he wanted to minister to him spiritually. That he wanted to be a help. You see, sometimes our surface friendships can't handle whenever true friends will talk to each other and say, hey, as a friend, I got to tell you, you need some help here. You understand? There's a big difference between my circle of friends that we talk, hey, yeah, hope you're doing good, and my circle of friends where it's saying, hey, I'm seeing you're struggling and you need some help. Those are different levels. And what Paul is saying is that this man not just tried to be an encouragement, just generally, but that spiritually he was trying to help the Apostle Paul. Now, I'll be honest with you. I look at that and I say, that guy must have been pretty awesome to have something to offer Paul, of all people. Right? Well, I don't know. Because this and one more verse in chapter number 4, well, it just says the household of Onesiphorus. That's it. It's all we know about him. You know what we do know about him? Is that he tried to be a real friend to Paul. Now, I told you I have 2 points. Here we are. Number one, be an Onesiphorus. Be a friend. Truly be a real friend. Know that it's not that, oh, I'm going to try to be friends so I can correct some people. You need some help, you need me. Not at all. But the truth of the matter is, life, I'm not just talking about pastors, I'm talking about people in general. Life can be lonely when you're trying to live for the Lord. It can be. It can be extremely lonely when you're trying to do something that's completely countercultural. Right? What are people doing right now? Well, probably there's a lot of people right now watching a football game, hanging out at the house. Right? And I'm not saying people who couldn't make it out for the snow. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in general. A lazy Sunday morning, right? That's what a lot of people talk about. Well, we just had a lazy Sunday and we watched the Cowboys lose. No. But seriously, when it comes down to being a friend, being serious, that it's not just surface level, that it's trying to be a help. Because it is lonely. Because there's times where you feel all alone, and you can be in the middle of a room full of people. You been there? You can be in a room of 10,000 people and feel like you're the only one. And to have somebody come along to be a friend, to be a help, here's the truth. We all need that in our lives. So if we all need it, we all need to be it. You see, many times we're thankful for the friends that we have that are that way. But how many times are we that friend? The Bible says in another place, he that hath friends must show himself friendly. Well, got you there, preacher. I don't have no friends. I don't have to be friendly. Well, the Bible says there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The man Christ Jesus. So we all have a friend. So by default, that does mean that we should show ourselves friendly. We should be like Onesiphorus. Yes, to our pastor, we should be an encouragement and somebody who refreshes him. That is true. But also to our fellow believers, we should be a true friend one to another. I always say that it's a dangerous thing when it comes down to it, and I'm not trying to be mean to anybody, but I will say this. That it's a dangerous thing when we can be much closer to friends, to people who are lost and outside of church, who don't go to church, who don't love the Lord, that we can be tight besties with them, but yet we can't be friends together here amongst ourselves. That's a dangerous thing. I know that, like, I haven't been here very long, just since September, but I'm looking around and I'm looking at people already that I'm beginning to be friends with. What a wonderful thing that is. It is, you know how it is. If you've moved or you've gone to some other place, you know, you're going to a whole new place and it's like, yeah, I had my whole life in another place and now I'm going to a strange place. And yet, here it is, a church that takes you in as a friend and is a blessing and it's wonderful. But here's the thing. The responsibility is not just to have good godly friends. Listen, be a good godly friend as well. Be one. So, be an Onesiphorus. Everybody's favorite point, lastly, is this. Thank God for the real friends in your life. So number one, be one. And second of all, thank God for the Onesiphoruses in our life. As we talked about it there, as he ministered to Paul, he encouraged him spiritually. It's a wonderful thing, and I think we should do it. I think we should send a text to folks and say, hope you're having a great day, and thinking about you, praying for you. Amen. Send them a Dr. Pepper or coffee, whatever. That's good. We should be doing it. But also encourage spiritually. And be thankful for those people who are encouraging us spiritually. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to be confronted about things that aren't necessarily where they need to be in our lives. And a friend will come and say, hey, love you, praying for you. Need to work on this a little bit. And vice versa. And sometimes those are the friends that it's like, oh, they're starting to correct me, or they're starting to help me in those areas, and I'm going to push them to the curb. But here's what we need to do, is we need to thank God for the people in our lives that are willing to be true friends. I know it's simple, but here it is, the Apostle Paul himself, one of the greatest missionaries to ever live. He says, Timothy, there's going to be some scary things go on in your life, but hey, God hath not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. But also, Timothy, I want to tell you about somebody who's been a big help to me. This man, Onesiphorus. And I believe that he was sharing this with the apostle, with Timothy, for the purpose of him being looking for people in his ministry along the way that were going to be there, that would be people like this, that would be real friends, that he should be a friend to others and also would have friends along the way. And just to remind us today is this. Friends, we need them. There's a silly saying, I heard it, I actually heard it at a, there was a, I'm trying to think who it was. Anyways, it was one of the presidents died. It wasn't Carter, but it was before that. And I heard a silly phrase, and I told Brother Jeremy one time. But it was the Prime Minister of Canada gave this at his funeral, and he said this. He said, between the two of us, we obviously were different countries and going back and forth, and we saw differently on a lot of things. And he recited this little phrase, and it goes like this. There's wood ships, and there's good ships. There's ships that sail the sea. But the best ships are friendships. May they ever be. I'm looking around a room. People, you'll get lonely. There'll be times of discouragement. There'll be times that you need somebody to come alongside and say, I'm here to be a friend. But I'm also looking at a room full of folks that could be that friend as well, for one another. That we look to be a help, and to be a blessing to each other. So Paul says, hey, this guy was a friend. And we can learn how to be a good friend from a man whose name can be hard to say, Onesiphorus. Lord, we thank you so much for your many blessings to us. God, I pray that you'd help us. Help us all to be friends. God, help us to be true friends that aren't just surface level, but are there to be a blessing, and to be a help, and to be an encouragement, and to minister one to another. God, when we talk about friendships, we have to stop and to say thank you. God, that you sent your Son to die on the cross, to be buried, to rise again, God, that yes, we could become the sons of God, that relationship could be there, a friendship. God, that no longer you're our enemy because of salvation, but you can be even our friend, our father. God, we thank you so much for that. God, I pray that you would help us. Help us to be a good friend one to another. But God, we also want to stop and thank you for the friendships in our life that you bring along to keep us moving closer to you. In Jesus' name.